Amen. I always appreciate all the music on Christmas Eve and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. I'd like to just share a few thoughts out of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and the message is a wise decision. Matthew chapter 2. I'm just going to read verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful music tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Son of God who came into this world, Emmanuel, God with us. And because he came, Lord, we can know that and be assured of the fact that we're going to be able to come into heaven one day. And so, Lord, I pray you'd bless the preaching of the word of God, bless our testimonies, our continued praise of thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east." The birth of Jesus Christ, there's nothing like it in all of history. Nothing has taken place that had a more powerful impact on the world than what Jesus' birth did. Literally, it was from the days when God had created an Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he would come in the cool of the day and walk in fellowship with his creation. From that time on, God was not physically walking in this world with mankind, but Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin. He took on human flesh, and because of the fact that God was with us, Emmanuel, it had a powerful impact that the world has have to respond to and acknowledge the reality that God is real and God loves us and cares for us. It had a powerful impact. But also, the birth of Christ had a purposeful provision. In other words, when Jesus came, it provided a way of redemption. He is the Savior of the world. That's why his name was called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so there is a purpose for Jesus coming. It's not to give us a holiday so we can get off work once a year. Amen. He came in the world to save sinners who needed to be delivered. And so it was a purposeful provision. But it was a peaceful resolve also. When Jesus came in, he came in very quietly, came in very peacefully. When he comes again, he's not coming as a babe, he's coming as a lion, amen? He's not coming as a babe born of a virgin, but he's coming as the king, amen? And so the first time him coming was a very peaceful resolve, but hallelujah, he's coming again, and that's not going to be in the same mode and result. But the wise men came to see him. I think it's interesting that the Bible identifies them as wise men. Wisdom is nothing more than knowledge coupled with experience. You know, you can have a lot of knowledge but have no experience, and you don't have wisdom. And wisdom is being able to take what you've learned and apply it into your life in a practical way. And so wisdom is knowledge coupled with experience. These men were called wise men because they had knowledge and they had experience in the things that they studied and the way that they lived. Proverbs 4:7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." And we need to go beyond just academically trying to bring information into our minds, and especially when it comes to God. It's not about how many verses you can memorize in the Bible. It's how real does God become to you as you understand what the Bible says. And we want to gain wisdom in reference to our Savior. Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And so these men, it's significant that they were identified as wise men. And we want to be wise people here at Christmas time. And their demonstration of showing this wisdom is in the rest of the verse in chapter 2. And I just want to highlight three thoughts about this. Notice, first of all, I believe they were called wise men because they had a desire to worship. In verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When you talk about wisdom, the wisest thing that we can do is have a spirit of worship and praise of our God. God instills in us a desire to know who he is. And so they wanted to worship the person of Jesus Christ. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And we don't worship a thing. We don't worship a movement. We worship a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And notice not only did they desire to worship a person, but they wanted to worship in reference to a plan that that person had demonstrated. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. That was God's plan to identify where the Messiah would be born. The prophecies back in Micah declared Bethlehem Ephratah as the place, but it was the star that directed the wise men to the place where Jesus was born. And so they had a desire to worship, not only in reference to the person, but in reference to the plan that God laid out. But then there's also the praise. It said they came to worship him. They didn't come and talk about themselves. They didn't come and boast about their abilities. They didn't come in and try to woo people over to them by their great wisdom and academic understanding. They came to worship and to praise the eternal Son of God. The wisest thing we can do is have a desire to worship the Lord. When we come to church, it is not about seeing who has the best outfit on. I can tell you that. And it isn't about seeing who's on the best diet either. Amen. I don't talk about diets. I run away from those things. Amen. We come to church to praise the Lord. And I think sometimes we forget that. And Christmas is about praising our Savior. William Temple said this: to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. I really am afraid that in most of our churches, the whole focus and intent of the worship service is not that. And we lose the reality of worshiping, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Christmas Eve. To God be the glory that he sent his son into this world. To him be praise and glory in the church. Amen. So they had a wise decision because their decision involved a desire to worship. Number two, in verse 10 of our chapter, we see they had a disposition of joy. Some of us Baptists could learn that. Amen. And Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, a disposition of joy. You know, you can have a disposition of just being cantankerous and mean and hateful and bitter and all kinds of things. But wait a minute. You ought to have a disposition that demonstrates the joy of the Lord. Why? Notice they had joy because the journey is complete. You know, they traveled many miles and many days to come into the presence of Jesus Christ. No wonder they were rejoicing when they came to the place where the star stood over and where the babe was, and they rejoiced in his presence. The journey is over. I'm going to tell you, I had a journey in my life for 27 years without Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was burdened with a load of sin, but when I came to know Christ, the journey to salvation was over. It was complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved tonight. The journey is done, amen? You're just a pilgrim passing through. It'll be complete when you get into heaven, but your salvation is secure in this babe that was born, Jesus Christ. So we ought to have a disposition of joy because the journey is complete. Notice not just the journey is complete, but Jesus is received. They came into where the young child was. You know, Jesus needs to be your Savior. And John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, you're not born in this world a child of God. You're born in this world a sinner. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven, your sin debt is over, you're adopted into the family of God, and now you have a disposition of joy because Christ has been received. Somebody says, well, I'll just join the church and I'll be happy. No, you won't. You need to receive Jesus Christ because then you can be happy. So the journey is complete. Jesus is received. Rejoicing is shared. I mean, they just had exceeding great joy. You read about the shepherds. They went everywhere rejoicing that they had met with the Savior. And listen, you have something to celebrate. You have something to share with someone. You know, when it's your birthday, you like talking about your birthday to everybody. When it's your family's anniversary or whatever it is, you always like talking about all that. This is the birthday of Jesus Christ. This is the reality. God has become flesh. We have something to share with somebody else. There's no greater message to share with anyone than right now that Jesus Christ came into this world. And because he came, you can be saved and you can be happy. John Huss was burned at the stake for his faith. And John Huss said this, rejoice that the immortal God is born so that mortal man may live in eternity. I'm telling you, John Huss may have died a martyr's death being burned at the stake because he would not recant on his faith in Jesus Christ, but he knew what it was to rejoice because the immortal God came to dwell amongst mortal man so that man could be clothed in the righteousness of God and be able to spend an eternity in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited up here. John R. Rice said this, you can never truly enjoy Christmas until you can look up into the Father's face and tell him you have received his Christmas gift. God has a great gift for you tonight. And that great gift is Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And you can receive him as your personal Savior. So it was a great decision. It was a decision that was wise because it was desired to worship and because it developed a disposition of joy. But notice also in verse 11 of our text, it was a decision to give. You say, you Baptist preachers always got to get money in there somewhere. I'm not talking about that. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The decision to give. Notice they gave gold. Gold celebrates his authority as king. The gold that they offered, the gold is not the present. The present that is being given is the acknowledgement that he is authority as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's not looking for your money. He doesn't need your money. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. So all he wants you to do is to celebrate his authority as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice they gave frankincense. Frankincense was an expensive ointment that was offered, and it celebrates his anointed position as the high priest. You know, the priest would go into the holy place in the temple. You know, Zacharias, that's what he was doing when God spoke to him about the birth of John the Baptist. And he was in the holy place offering incense on the altar of incense as the prayers of Israel being offered up before God. It was a precious ointment because it represented the ability to go in the presence of God through prayer. And the wise men gave an offering that was frankincense, not because it was worth a lot of money, but rather they're acknowledging there's only one priest and one means to get to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So they gave gold and they gave frankincense. Well, hallelujah, they gave myrrh. Now, myrrh was an ointment that was used for oftentimes embalming dead bodies. The myrrh celebrates the prophetic fulfillment as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. All the songs that were sung tonight were a blessing to me and just stirred my heart. I never heard that song that Maria sang before, that about the manger. It's an appropriate place for a lamb to be born. And listen, that's where the Son of God, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation, he was born and he was laid in a manger because he'd be the Lamb of God who would shed his blood to wash away all man's sin. The wise decision to give was to give myrrh to acknowledge that the prophecies are fulfilled and redemption is complete. The Lamb has been slain and glory to God, I can stand reconciled to the holy God of heaven. I'm telling you tonight, we need some wise decision making. We need to make the decision as these wise men to desire to worship the Lord, not just on Christmas, but every day of our life. We need to be wise like these wise men to have a disposition of joy. I don't know what problem you're going to face tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you one thing. In the presence of God, there is joy that's abundant. We need to make the decision to give the way the wise men gave. They, by acknowledging the authority of God and the position of our high priest, that Jesus Christ is ever interceding for us at the throne of God, and hallelujah, he was slain that we might be able to live throughout all eternity. You need to make that decision, a wise decision. I remember years ago, I read a quote that said, wise men still seek him. And the wisest decision you can make is to seek after the Lord. You say, oh, I've been saved. I got saved years ago. That really doesn't mean much to me anymore. You need to get wise up. You need to make a decision to surrender your life again to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, you're not sure you're saved, I want you to know that God loves you and Jesus came in this world that he might save you. And the wisest decision you'll ever make is to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm on my way to hell. I know I need the forgiveness of God. God, will you forgive me? Will you save me? Will you deliver me? Will you make me anew? In Jesus' name, amen. And I'll tell you what, God can save your soul. God convicts your heart. God brings repentance on your heart. God stirs you and convicts you about your sin. I'm going to tell you, when I got saved in 1979, I got saved because I was overwhelmed with the conviction of God that I was on my way to hell because I was a sinner. Got up in the middle of the night and cried out to God and asked him, forgive me, he saved me. And you know what? My life has never been the same. Amen. Christmas is exciting because we're celebrating the birth of Christ. May his name be exalted and lifted up. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, we love you tonight. I pray that we make wise decisions as these wise men when it comes to worshiping the Lord, when it comes to living a life of joy, when it comes to giving the acknowledgement of the authority and priesthood of our God. God, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, Lord, will you touch their heart? Will you bring conviction on their soul? Will you bring them to a point where they have to talk to somebody before they walk out of this building? And Lord, we could show them how to be saved tonight. I pray for every believer. Whether they're on fire for God or whether they're cold and calloused against God, I don't know where they are in their walk with God. But Lord, the wisest decision they can do and make in their life is to surrender once again, anew and afresh, to the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.